every bite that you take was made in a factory, and it was comprised of ingredients. It comprised of the wheat and the oat and the sugar, all of it that had to be grown on a farm. And that farm connects to dirt, and that dirt connects to everything. It is an interwoven web, all of it leading to that one moment when you dig into the dirt and the soil and the water and the oat and the corn and the sugar, and you lift it to your mouth for that first perfect bite. It's all connected. Hello, and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
My name is Dan Gubert, and I am a mere conduit for the divine word of cereal.
I'm so happy to have you here listening to us. We hope that you can take 30 minutes or so and just relax. This is a meditative podcast about cereal. That means that for the next half hour, you have full permission to just unplug your brain a bit and connect it to that old Ethernet jack labeled cereal. We're going to have news, probably some reviews maybe. And then we're going to have some fun too. There'll be some lighter moments as well. So we're going to have a little bit of everything. But let's begin. Let's not waste any more time. Dan, the spooky season is fully upon us, and we've got even more announcements. It hasn't all been rolled out.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that we seem to be getting even more monster cereal paraphernalia this season than normal. Usually you can only really rely on some cereal treats, perhaps some fruit roll-ups in addition to the standard lineup of General Mills monster cereals. But this season we've seen the treats are back, the Count Chocula treats are back, the Monster Mash fruit snacks, those are also back. As we mentioned in our latest episode, they debuted these Pillsbury shape cookies for Count Chocula and Frankenberry. And now rounding out the selection are Frankenberry and Booberry Yoplait yogurts, coming in both Strawberry Scream and Boo Blueberry variety packs.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm pretty excited about these because they basically just seem to be taking the Trix yogurt formula of like these swirled colors and like pastel type dreamy delicious looking yogurt and basically just reskinning it with Frankenberry and Booberry. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Trix yogurt has kind of been this weird ephemeral product where, you know, it was really really popular when it first came out.
Yeah.
But in recent years you can't really find it outside of like, unless you're buying in bulk for like school cafeterias is where I've seen it. So yeah, unless you have a huge, I don't know, lunchroom-sized appetite for the stuff, you didn't really get the chance to buy it.
You have to freeze in bulk with that, I think. I don't think you're going to churn through it as quickly as you might want to.
But yeah, now you can get a much more modest-sized pack of just 8 cups, you know, 4 of each of Frank and Boo's flavors, and they come with these cute little doodles on the actual cups, too, so it's a nice little pop art-type moment, and yeah, we were kind of questioning just how General Mills would follow up last year's pretty epic Monster Mash cereal. And I think they're doing a pretty good job if, you know, maybe not giving us that huge one item, but really providing that quantity as well as presumable quality, because I'm sure these will be pretty good as well. So
sure.
I'm looking forward to tracking
them
down.
This technology is pretty well established, mm-hmm. I feel like.
The Trix Rabbit perfected this sort of alchemy, and now we all get to reap the benefits for all time.
Now, Dan, what are this next one I saw, but I am still really excited. Tell me about Instables.
This is an interesting one. So
yeah,
it seemed like for a while, now this was, you know, over 5 years ago, right around when I was starting my blog, the cereal industry was kind of in tumult or in chaos even, because sales were slipping super hard, and the solution that marketers seemed to come to was that, you know, people weren't eating cereal because they were living such busy on-the-go lifestyles. So
right.
there was this giant spurt of innovation in like mobile cereal technology.
Right. A lot of cereal bars, especially right around this time, which were already established, but more of that press to like, you can eat your Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bar on the go.
Yeah, cereal bars, cereal shakes, more like cereal snack pouches, that type of thing. But, you know, it never really worked. And especially, you know, once people started working from home more, they kind of reverted on that premise. And I think the hit approach with cereal lately has been really digging into that, like, nostalgia element and also trying to position cereal more as a snack or, like, a late-night dessert. And that's kind of the prevailing philosophy now. But it seems Kellogg's is giving one more hard push towards the on-the-go cereal model with these innovative little Instables.
Yes.
So these come in four varieties: Frosted Flakes, Apple Jacks, Fruit Loops, and Raisin Bran Crunch. And what they are little cups of cereal that come with powdered milk. So ostensibly all you have to do is add water and stir, and you will have a complete bowl of cereal with milk. How do you feel about this?
There's a level at which I think it seems really smart, but I will say that I feel like the first time I get a chunk of like non-dissolved milk,
right,
you know what I'm saying? Like the first time that happens, I'm out. I mean, I think I'm out at that point. I don't think I can, I would be able to push past that.
Yeah, it's tough for me too. I just feel like there's no way that you'll be able to, like, by the time you get the water and milk powder thoroughly mixed to the point where you can call it actually milk, the cereal will probably already be over the sogginess threshold for me, just because of how fast cereal gets soggy when you add water to it. Not that I would know, not that I've ever actually eaten cereal with water, but like, you know, just from observing what happens when I'm washing out a bowl of cereal that might have a few pieces left over, there's,
yeah,
like, they're going to turn into almost cement, I feel like, because that's kind of what happens. And they'll get, I guess I shouldn't, you know, jump to any conclusions, rather, because maybe this is a great innovation, but I just don't see any occasion where I'll want to go through the effort for this possible iffy result when I can just keep scooping dry cereal into my mouth. Like,
I'm also a little bit worried looking at the form factor of it. I feel like this is getting like pretty in the weeds, but if you like cereal enough to listen to a cereal podcast, you'll probably get what I'm saying. Whenever it's a bowl like this, the shape makes it really hard to like get a good stir going,
mm-hmm,
without some sloshing over the top. And that is worrisome to me, that I'm going to need to like really mix it up perfectly to get it going, and that I'm going to slosh some cereal out of the bowl.
Yeah, it does appear that these have like sort of peel off lids. So if it were more of like a sealed thing where you could put it back on and shake it, that would probably,
yep,
work a lot better. But yeah, as it stands, I can see this being a bit messy. Certainly not something I would try during rush hour traffic in my car.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is the Crunch Cup out there for people who are looking for a truly deeply engineered mobile cereal solution. So, I don't know. I won't say Kellogg's Instables are a bad idea, but they may be a sacrificial lamb on the altar of innovation on the way to a better on-the-go cereal solution.
I feel like maybe it would be, you know where I think this might actually be good is like hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm in a hotel scenario and they don't like keep, because a lot of people don't have milk like fresh on hand, right? But I could see this being, or even like in the lobby of a hotel, you know, in the gift shop where you have a bunch of like,
right,
Cheetos and Chex Mix and stuff like that. Maybe these where I could take it up to my room and enjoy it like that. I could see that's a possibility.
Yeah, an airport maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, our troops, our troops for camping. Okay, camping. That's not a bad,
true,
that's not a bad application of this, right? Camping.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be as excited about this next story as I am, but I am, honestly, I love this.
Yeah, so General Mills has introduced a third series of Cereal Squad toys that they are putting inside know, specially marked boxes of their most popular Big G cereals, Honey Nut Cheerios, Cocoa Puffs, Cookie Crisp, Trix, Lucky Charms, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And as you may recall, in previous iterations, these are just, you know, like little tiny, almost Funko Pop adjacent little figurines of the respective cereals' mascots. And so the first series was kind of just the actual mascots themselves. The second series was putting them in little Halloween costumes. And the theme this time around is 90s edition. So all of the little mascots have some sort of 1990s accoutrements, whether it's Buzz the Bee with some cool shades, the Trix Rabbit in a little neon workout outfit, or I especially like the little Cinemoji square that we have dressed up like a cassette tape, which I think is pretty cool. But yeah, it seems like this Cereal Squad series, even though I don't hear a lot about it, like on the subsection of Cereal social media that I'm on, it seems to be really popular with the collector audience. I'm a member of this Facebook group that's all about like collecting old cereal box prizes, and people there are going crazy for this. So it is funny to me how you'd think the cereal fandom is just a very dedicated niche, but there are substrata of cereal fans. Like on Twitter, you'll see more people who, you know, are into the wacky zaniness of today's cereals, or like the golden age of, you know, 80s, 90s cereals and Saturday morning cartoon type rosy-eyed nostalgia approach to cereal. And then there's this group of, you know, it seems like older people on Facebook who are more into collecting the prizes from the 60s, 70s, and even earlier. So this one's for them and for all the people out there who are hoping for more free toys inside cereal boxes.
It's interesting. You get the cereal box collectors too. Like where I don't understand that at all, as much as I love cereal, but I know Gabe is like deeply into that. How does he store them? Do you know that? Does he just have like a big box?
You've seen his big cereal box wall, haven't you?
I have. I guess that's it. He must have an archive somewhere, if not on display. It's probably just a big trash bag. Just a big trash bag he keeps them all in. I don't know. This must be jarring if Gabe is ever listening. Like, why are they talking about me? I'll tell you.
He's got to be listening, right?
You know how to contact me. Just ask me how my cereal boxes are stored. He took one for the team this week with a review of that OJ cereal. Did not look pleasant. You tried some cereals too, Dan. This since the last episode.
That I did. I finally tracked down the much publicized return of Fruit Brute for the 2022 Halloween season. It took me a while.
Our last visit from the Fruit Brute, I want to say, was like 2013. Does that sound right?
Yeah, the last proper reintroduction of Fruit Brute was in 2013.
I wonder what that part of my brain could be doing. You ever wonder that? What that part of my brain could be holding? That part that just holds like Fruit Brute release dates and EverQuest's lore.
Billions of years of human evolution have brought us to this knowledge, this categorical knowledge.
Created this incredible supercomputer in my brain.
But it took me a while to find the return of Fruit Brute, but most people shouldn't have trouble finding it at most major retailers by this point. And I will say I did enjoy it. It's tough, obviously, because I'm still much in the camp that like the monster cereals are a corn husky shell of what they used to be and, you know, aren't particularly amazing. But I still enjoyed mindlessly munching this Fruit Brute just because it's different than the traditional three monster cereals that we're used to getting most years. I won't say that Fruit Brute tastes terribly different from Frankenberry and Boo Berry. It kind of honestly tastes like a hybrid of those two, where you've got the sort of sweet berryness of like Frankenberry and the more generic like mixed berry of Boo Berry all in one. It's supposed to be like a cherry flavor, so to speak. I'm not necessarily sure I get anything distinctly cherry, but it's got a nice, very slight tang to it, and you know, the texture of the pieces is still very light and chewy, not really ideal, but I think just the
Did you try it in 2013? Did you try that round?
I did, and it was much the same case there, where kind of just the name value of Fruit Brute is the only thing driving it forward. Yeah. But in 2013, we at least had Yummy Mummy there as well.
Isn't that interesting to bring back one and not the other? I think that's so interesting.
It is sad, especially because I think Yummy Mummy is much more interesting from a flavor perspective.
That's the orange one? Is Yummy Mummy orange?
Yeah, it was like an orange creamsicle. So it was much more distinct from the others, whereas Fruit Brute kind of, you know, blurs the lines between two already existing monster cereals. It would have been super cool if they, you know, brought back the original Fruit Brute gimmick, which was pairing these cherry pieces with lime flavored marshmallows.
That's something.
I think that could have gone a long way, but you know, if anything's stagnating in the cereal innovation world, it's Marbit innovation.
Marbit flavor has like really fallen off. I mean, I feel like we used to have a better selection when I was growing up. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, you got the chocolate Marbits with Count Chocula, but that's about it. And that's kind of
why. Great ones in the Rice Krispies with marshmallows. There were these like tiny multicolored smaller Marbits. God, they were good. And they would like they were sized appropriately so that they would sort of circulate through the cereal, like it was a similar form factor. This is delicious. Mm. Really, truly delicious.
Yeah, just don't make them like that anymore.
Indeed, indeed. This is a shot in the dark, but I'm guessing our next cereal, they do make them like this anymore a lot, constantly, all the time. You can't get away from it.
Ah, yes. I have acquired Hocus Pocus 2 Berry Brew cereal. And, surprisingly, I'm here to tell you that this is not just another blandly flavored fruit cereal.
What?
It is, in fact, far worse.
No! Oh, no. I'm sorry for yelling, but I'm so disappointed. I was getting my phone out to get an order going.
Okay, so first off, this was another case where I had to go to the store, in this case, Target, and they did not have it on shelves, so I had to approach an employee.
Oh my God.
As a grown adult man and hold out my phone with a picture of Hocus Pocus 2 cereal on it and say, it says it's in stock on your website. And here I am. This is my confession that I've never even seen Hocus Pocus, so I'm here appearing like a fanboy. And of course, any attempt to sort of explain that it's for a blog or a podcast is only going to make me look worse.
Right.
So the very kind Target employee did go off into the back of the store, and I love how he first asked me how many boxes I want, because like, what number does he expect me to give at that point? But yeah, he went into the back and got me a box, and the hard work that he put into going and getting that box is definitely more effort than Kellogg's actually put into creating this cereal.
Man.
You know it's bad when there's not even anything on the back of the box besides another copy of the front of the box.
I love that. I love that move. Do you remember the Mandalorian one? It was just a gigantic picture of the Mandalorian. Yeah.
Even that's better than just having the same thing even on the side of the box, too. Like, this gives no information about Hocus Pocus 2, the movie, even. So I don't really think they're going to be winning any new fans with this one. And
can you compare it to something? Like, I mean, flavor-wise, is there a recent, like, comp?
It's like the Toy Story 4 cereal, most like, I feel like, where the generic fruit flavor is barely there, and instead you've got these really thick sugar stars, basically, and the way they just sort of crumble in your mouth, I've called cereals horse cereals before, and that they feel like they're meant to be filled into a feed bag and strapped onto your face.
Not always a complaint.
Right.
Sometimes you want that hardiness.
Right, but this I would call a horse cereal more in the way that it feels like I'm eating a whole bunch of just sugar cubes. And the graininess as they dissolve in your mouth and just the lack of any substance is just really, really sad. So, not really much more to say about this one other than don't buy it.
Don't buy
really.
It. Now, you told me that there have been some older favorites that you've been dipping back into and maybe reevaluating. Anything spring to mind?
Yeah, so you may be familiar with the hit Indian film RRR. So now I'm here to introduce my own RRR that I'm calling Rapid Fire Re-Reviews as a miniature segment.
I can't believe you're talking about RRR. This makes me so happy.
I had to name drop it. Go see it, people. It's better than Hocus Pocus 2, the serial.
Just go watch it.
So yeah, in some instances where I'll get a bunch of new serials and they're all kind of bad or mediocre, so I feel like I need to go buy a serial that I've liked for a while or one that, you know, I feel like deserves a second glance. So a couple ones that I've tried again recently that I feel like deserve different scores. First of all, I tried Banana Caramel Cheerios again, and I feel like I was a little too harsh on them my first time around, because this is a great mindless muncher of a cereal. I think the more you eat it, especially dry, the more like the intricacies of the caramel and banana interchange comes out, and it starts to feel a lot more unique as it builds on itself over the course of, you know, lots of over the sink dry handful eating. So I would recommend Banana Caramel Cheerios if you haven't had them already. Less recommended would be Kashi Go cereal. Did you ever have Kashi Go Lean cereal?
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, I go through phases of really liking bland but like nutritionally hearty cereals, and for a long time I really liked Kashi Go Lean, which had a really, really good crunch to it and also like this light honey flavor that was really nice. But I found that they have rebranded Kashi Go Lean as Kashi Go. I don't know whether that's to, you know, dispel the diet culture connotations surrounding the word lean, or perhaps they just don't want to associate with lean the beverage. But either way, something changed in this cereal when they rebranded it, and it almost has an uncanny crunch to it now, where like,
okay,
you take a bite and it crunches really hard, but as you start to chew it, that crunch is immediately gone and it's replaced by this very hollow chew that I did not enjoy. So it's part of like a broader problem that I'm kind of noticing with snack foods, is that they just aren't crunching like they used to. Like, have you had any Goldfish snack crackers recently? It seems like they changed the crunch. Maybe I'm just crazy, but
I have not noticed that. It's possible, though.
Hmm.
Everyone's always looking to scale back on their,
I know, it's
on their costs.
So another slight from Kashi. And then finally, one that I would recommend again would be Raisin Nut Bran. I was putting together an impromptu tier list of Raisin Bran cereals for my Twitter, and I couldn't really remember where to place Raisin Nut Bran just because it had been so long since I had it. So I got myself a box and dug in again and was really delighted, especially by the coated raisins that they have. I don't know what they're coating these things with, but it really levels them up against any other Raisin Bran raisin. And the conclusion that I've made is that if we could hypothetically take the flakes from Raisin Bran Crunch, the raisins from Raisin Nut Bran, and the clusters from Trader Joe's organic Raisin Bran clusters, we could build the hypothetical perfect Raisin Bran, a cereal perhaps too powerful for mortal palates.
Yeah, we shouldn't. It would eclipse all other cereals. There wouldn't be a point to make the other cereals. I had a this is not really a cereal review, but it is. I'm always on the lookout for dark cereals. Dark cereals, like cereals that they don't tell you are cereals. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like, we've done Is It Cereal, but I'm saying like dark cereals that, like, you shouldn't do this. Like, you shouldn't cereal this, I don't think. And the one that I want to turn your attention to right now called Muddy Bites.
Muddy Bites?
Yeah, if you go to MuddyBites.com, you'll get the lay of the land. Here it is. It's someone,
real?
I tweeted last week that Drumstick, the makers of the Drumstick treat, should just get over it and sell us the bottom of the cone. Like, just sell us the bottom of the cone that's filled with chocolate. And someone was like, hey, J-Man, Muddy Bites, dog. And so I went to MuddyBites.com. There it is. They're just selling a bag full of the bottom of the waffle cone filled with chocolate. First time I ate them out of the bag, I was like, this is good. It's not quite there, though, because you need the disintegration of the cone due to the ice cream being present to get this, the texture right. And then I thought, oh, my God, milk. So I combine those two into a dark cereal, and I gotta say, Dan, it hit pretty good. Didn't feel too hot the next morning. A lot of dark chocolate right up in there, but it hit pretty good. This would be a great compliment to a different, like, to pair with a cereal, maybe crumble up a bit, pair with a cereal, but it was quite a delight.
Wow, authorities are en route to your location right now.
I know.
You can't just admit to dark cereal crimes like this on a public broadcast. But that does sound amazing. I would just be worried that I would, like, spear the roof of my mouth on these pointy little bites, but I definitely got
to
try it.
I gave him a little courtesy crumble. Mm-hmm. Went into the bowl.
What do you think they do with the tops of the drumsticks that they use to make this cereal?
They hack them off and they throw them in a landfill. We got some, we have a mailbag, if you will. It's mail@bowl.rest, where you can email us, mail@bowl.rest. This is a question we received. Hi, Dan and Justin. Not sure if you've covered this before, but I recently found an old commercial featuring the Rolling Stones performing a jingle for Rice Krispies. I also recall from the last episode that you both mentioned Snoop Dogg is coming out with a cereal. I've noticed that sports star collaborations are quite popular in the cereal world, but collaborations with bands / singers, etc., not as much. My question to you is this. If you could pair a band / singer with a cereal, what pairing would you like to see, and what do you think this collaboration would look like? Thanks for creating an awesome show. I really would love a commercial where, like, a band, and I'm going to try to pull a band out that I've heard of, and I don't know, they're probably not cool, right? Like, this is probably not cool, but just, like, the Chainsmokers, if they're in an ad where they're like, guys, what's on the rider? You know, what do you definitely need in your dressing room? And they're like, yeah, it's just Quaker Oat Squares for us. And they're just all enjoying big bowls of old man cereal like Quaker Oat Squares. I would love that. I would love that combo because I'm always looking for Quaker Oat Squares to get their due as one of the greats of all time. And I feel like attaching a hip young talent would be a great way to get there.
Yeah, I feel like I took this question a little differently, and I was dreaming of, like, custom cereals based around different bands.
Oh, yes.
Like, I'd like to see a Beatles edition of Trix, where you've got, like, John Lennon pieces, Orange Harrison, Apple McCartney, and Ringo Starfruit all in one bowl. Or perhaps something like a Corn Pops cereal with a K, or...
There we go. I mean, that writes itself, doesn't it?
Maybe, like, pre-soggened Weetabix called Limp Biscuit cereal. Or maybe the most boring cereal imagine, designed to be eaten with milk, of course, for a Neutral Milk Hotel cereal. For what is a boring cereal but a Neutral Milk Hotel?
God, you're an artist, Dan. I feel so lucky to make this show with you. We wanted to ask, Dan and I were talking before the show, we also have a place where you can send voicemails. If you go to bowl.rest, you'll see a little button that says leave a message. You can ideally hook a microphone up to your computer or phone, but you know, if you just want to use your phone, that's fine too. You can leave us a message there, and we would love for you to come up with a name for our listenership. I'm not sure what the best one is, and so we wanted to let you, the listenership, decide. So we will, if you give us your suggestions as to a little explanation of why, we'll play some of our favorites next week, and just make sure when you leave the message that you try to keep the tone matching the chill vibes that we work so hard to establish.
Yeah, it helps if you set an alarm for like 3:30 in the morning and wake yourself up so you're already groggy and sleepy, and then record your message.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you spending this time with us and relaxing with us. We hope it's been helpful to you. Dan, who else do we owe our gratitude to?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for doing our wonderful podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl merch.
That is going to do it for us for this week. Please share the show, rate, review, all that good stuff, and share with a friend who you think might need it. that is going to do it for us. So until next time, as we say every week on the empty bowl at the end of the show, we have a closing one-liner that we always do. And I'm about to just say it. We're just going to say it. No more goofing around. This is it.
Don't forget to drink the milk. Watered down powdered milk.
Does it work with powdered milk? Like, I don't know about powdered milk. I know it's a bread ingredient, but if I had powdered milk, could I just mix that with water and I'm just like in milk?
I think you need to get evaporated milk and allow it to accumulate in a storm cloud and then let it rain into your bowl.
Re-evaporated milk.